Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, publishing pusher here. Again, we have another week, a new great person on the show with us. This is, we call him Chief Servant, Apostle Terrence Frederick. How you doing, Brother Frederick?
Oh, I'm good. How you doing? It's good to be
doing
here.
Doing all right. Listen, this is a great person to know, okay? And especially since he and my son have the same name, spelled exactly the same. So how could I ever forget Terrence? But his personality is so enriching when you are in the space with him. And listen, I'm not even deep, y'all, once I get around him. If I thought I was deep, I can pretty much forget it. But I'm going to give a little bit. But he is deep. But there's not too many people go to the depth that I've talked to. Him, Apostle Bernard Bolton, a few others, but not many. And when I get exposed to people who are able to go that deep and really pull things out, I really think it's important for us to, as the word tells us, to really study the word, not just read the scriptures, but really to dig down deep into it. And we just have some of these prophets out here, you know, these apostles out here that's able to do that, you know, and he just happens to be one of them. So Chief Servant, Apostle Terrence Frederick, I'm going to give you all your titles because, brother, you have earned them all. And God says you are worthy. Tell us, I really want you to tell the people about you, about your gifts, and how you're, and your teaching abilities. Start out with that.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's good to be here. It's always good to be in your presence and building with you. We have a lot of history. My journey, it's a crazy story, so I'll see if I can condense it. I grew up as a child of someone who was, of some parents who went to church, but I was the black sheep. I was the rebel. So I went out there and wanted to see what else was out there in the world. So I found myself getting into all kinds of things. 5% a nation of gods and earths, some Wicca, all kinds of crazy stuff, dark stuff. So I had a journey in darkness. The Lord arrested me and told me to come back home. You know where you're supposed to be. Called me to his service and brought me into ministry. And because my rebellion and my craziness was so deep, he had to take me and show me some of the things that he wanted to reveal so that I could know where depth comes from, where the mysteries really are. And so he brought me into his service. I began to start ministering, teaching, first evangelizing. And then I began to have a hunger for the prophetic ministry, learning what that was, learning about spiritual warfare, learning about, you know, everything that pertains to warring in the spirit. And then we moved on and I got a greater understanding on what it meant to be a watchman on the wall, sounding the alarm. And that's one of the first callings he gave me was, I want you to be a watchman, Ezekiel 33, you know, warn the people, let them know what I'm saying. If you don't, the blood is on your hands. And so I began to be real serious about that. We developed a watchman community and I began to grow in that. And then the Lord revealed later on in ministry that I really called you to apostleship. I've called you to be a messenger.
You said something that I want people to make sure people know what you're talking about. You said watchman. Tell the listeners and viewers, what are you talking about when you say watchmen?
Okay, so a lot of times if you ever see watchmen on the wall, it's not related to the comic book, the Watchmen series, but that is a word that is usually used to refer to those who are called to some level of prophetic ministry, those who are called to speak to the people of God or even speak to the world and tell them what the Lord is saying. And he's saying, basically, I want you, because the watchman in a natural sense would be a guardian, someone who would be maybe on the towers looking out for the enemies coming to invade the land, or just looking out at the landscape of whatever property they were supposed to watch over. And so God used that term to relate that to prophets and other people who would basically look out for what God is saying, or look out for the enemy and tell the people. So that would alarm the leaders of the community to get the people ready, whether it's for warfare or even just to celebrate the arrival of majesty. So watchmen have different facets, but basically you could say most people in church, we would say when we're talking about watchmen, we're talking about an aspect of prophetic ministry.
Thank you. I just want to make sure somebody will say, what in the world is he talking
what
about?
What is the watchman, right?
What wall are people sitting on?
Right, so right.
I appreciate you, clarifying that for us. You've done a lot of things that I am even aware of. And I remember listening to, and I have some on my, in my music, some of your music that you have done. And I know you have a media ministry. Is that still active and vibrant?
So I used to do more. I relocated. I was in an area in Sumter, South Carolina. That's where we met. And I was real active and vibrant in that time. I had to revamp, had some life changes. And so I'm not doing everything in the same way. But we had history in terms of doing music. We were, I would say, in South Carolina, or even in the Southeast, the pioneers of people who gathered poets, rappers, singers, people who were into jazz, improvisation, and we combined a certain style. We called it war and worship music, and combined, we used to travel all throughout the East Coast, some of the Midwest, and travel and begin to sing the praises of God, but in a unique way, in a way that represents the times that we live in. And so we incorporated, like I said, rap, singing, opera, all kinds of things. And so we produced about 5 or 6 albums, and that has gone to a close, but I'm still mentoring people. I'm always in a seat of mentoring young people who are involved in music and developing things. And so I'm still doing that now. It's just not in a public sense right now. I'm coming out from the shadows, or from the background a little bit, and coming back out to doing more ministry as I used to do. Most of my ministry right now has been one-on-one mentoring and development.
That's rich. But like I said, I do have some of your music, and I remember you threw out a piece one time, and you said, take this and see what you can do with it. And I grabbed it. I grabbed it, thought I was rapping or something, y'all. I was trying to go with the beat.
Listen, creative people will find a way to plug in. I really do believe that, you know, in the scriptures, you never find anyone that's called a poet. But if you look and you see what the prophets, how the prophets ministered at times, whether it was the psalmist David or some of the other prophets, you see that they flow in poetic ministry. So a lot of people are wearing the identity of, they might just say, I'm a poet, I'm a spoken word artist. And a lot of times God is calling them to something beyond the artistry that they think that that's all of who they are. But he uses arts to minister prophetically, to minister his word, because he knows how we are. And we are people who like to be entertained, and we like to have things a certain way. So a lot of times he empowers his messengers with all kind of creative gifts to get the message out.
Amen. Thank you. I know that you have published some books, and of course, one of the books you're going to talk about on here. And for some reason, I think I saw, I said you had like 3 books, but I was like, I thought he had more than those books, or maybe in my mind. But I remember you did a coloring book also that I had gotten. So how are your books overall doing? Or what are you doing with your books overall? We're not talking about the book that's coming out yet, but in general, because others listening want to know, well, if I'm going to do a book, what am I going to do with it after I've created it?
That's right. So, and that's a good question. I've produced, been a part of about 7 books, And my independent books, they've all been independent. I don't have a major publisher or anything. But the thing is, my books did the best when I was out there, not just promoting them, but speaking and doing something else. So a lot of times I would be invited to conferences to speak, to teach, to sing. And so when I was invited to those conferences or to different things, that's when the books did well, because you have your table, people can see you, they can interact with you. And that's when they move. The books really don't move if you're not actively doing different things. And you can't just do one thing. You can't just write a book and then sit down and just hope that just because you wrote it and published it, people are going to magically be drawn to it. You have to be out there in the mix, mixing it up. So right now it's taking a dip because, like I said, I'm coming out of being kind of just in the background. But I understand that's the part of the work. You have to be out there where people are, and not just promoting your own book, but just ministering to people and meeting a need, serving them in whatever capacity. That comes full circle, and other people get blessed by you continually posturing yourself to be a blessing to other people. That's how people know who you are and what you're doing.
You know, in respect to getting out and getting those books out there for people to know what you have you found that the more you speak, the more you do? The more you speak, the more you do. What I mean is, you said like the book isn't gonna sell itself. The book isn't going to make itself known. You've got to make it known. So that means, I'm sure it impacted a lot of people during the pandemic, where if you were going out a lot and engaging a lot, like I was before the pandemic, you know, the pandemic came, it shut things down. Now it's in this last year, it's been kind of some type of momentum trying to get things back out into the public arena.
Right.
Do you see yourself, or is your goal to get out more, to do more workshops and teachings, to make your content? I have this S3 model that says, if you don't show up, people don't know you exist. If you don't speak up, people don't know what you have to say. And if you don't share it, people don't know what's in your toolbox. So if you don't show up, speak out and share it. So how do you think that fits into what you want to do as you move forward?
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So there's a group of people, and I speak about this in this book that we're going to talk about later, but there are a lot of people who classify themselves as introverts. And that very thing that you said, they struggle with for different reasons. But it is true that if we don't show up, they won't know we're there, you know? And like I said, speak up. Sometimes when you feel like other people are speaking so eloquently and so boldly and masterfully, you feel like, where do I fit in? You know, what do I have to say to offer? But we need to think about the fact that if God has called you to write a book or to do a project, He's had you simmering and cultivating that thing and building up your knowledge in that thing to where you become an expert in that thing. You don't have to know everything, but you know what it is that He has charged you with, and you could speak on that. And sometimes it does take stepping out of that comfort zone to, you know, I would classify myself as an introvert in terms of, you know, I'm not just one that will insert myself into every conversation. And so it's a deliberate task to say, okay, I'm going to speak up here and I'm going to make this known and I'm going to let people know about what I have to offer. But it has to be done, because nobody else is going to believe in your project more than you, and nobody else is going to promote your project more than you. So you have to believe in what God, and you have to also believe that it's just not coming from you, but it's something that the Lord has given us to be stewards over, and it's His work. Basically, He's given us His dream. He's allowed us to be stewards over it. But if we lose passion for the thing, then nobody else is going to have any passion for it. So I agree with that 100% for sure.
So y'all heard it. You got to get some passion while you out here trying to do this thing. You got to have a heart for what you're showing up to do. Well, let's say before you show up, you got to have a heart for it, because that heart is going to press you to get out there, even when you don't feel like it. That's what Apostle just said. It's going to make you say, you know, if I don't get out there, then how am I doing what God has called me to do, what God has pressed in to me to do, to let what He has given me be known to the world? And I believe that as children of the King, there is so much for each one of us that we have not even begun to tap into.
That's it.
Do you think that about yourself? Like, you know the great things that you have done, and you may not even think that they're great, but other people looking at them like, man, this guy is, like I said, he's deep. And you're thinking, well, I'm just doing what I'm doing. But in your mind, do you think, God, I haven't even reached the precipice of what you have for me?
Always. I'm always thinking about that. And, you know, people will encourage you along the way and say things, and you're reminded and you get good feedback at times, but there are seasons when you don't get anything, but we just have to just know who we are. We have to know who we are. And we also have to know that there are certain things that even projects that we have, they may not make the impact that we think they should make in our lifetime. I studied this one time. I studied projects and books and things that symphonies that were created where people died basically unknown. And then somebody dug up the crates, found their stuff somewhere, and they're known and their stuff is being taught in seminars and in classes and lecture halls. And we never, like you said, we never know how far our work will go. We just have to be faithful to it. We don't know. And God already told me, I do believe with this project and with some other things that I'm going to see some fruitfulness in this time. But he said, there are some works that go beyond your lifetime, and you have to write for future generations, not just for the present generation. Because a lot of times the present generation, they don't really fully grasp or appreciate what it is that you are bringing, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you need to produce it. And sometimes we use that as an excuse. So y'all just don't appreciate, but did we first appreciate the work ourselves? And we want other people to celebrate something, and we're not even celebrating our own stuff. So we have to look at that as well. So I made some changes within myself, because I would do that. I would be one of those people that after I did the work, I studied it, I published it, I'm done. I don't even want to look at this title anymore. I want to look at something else because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of seeing it. But that's just the first part. You know, that's just the beginning of it. So much more to be done. Even other books and other things, teachings and different things that are supposed to come out of the book. So when God calls us to a project, a lot of times it's not just that product, but there's so many things that we're supposed to extract from that and create other things out of the things that he's given us to create.
Yes. And you said something that you said is very important, because you said, you know, the work that you are doing now, as others have, they might have passed on, but we're not believing that for us. They might have passed on and nobody knew their name. Somebody going to know our name.
That's right.
No question about it. Somebody going to know our name. But what we're creating... What we're creating is, they call evergreen content. That's content that will stand the test of time. That's a thousand years ago, when somebody grabs this book, they're going to be like, man, this is deep. Yeah, oh my God. Good. You know, this is relevant to today, even though it was written way back over there and then. But it's also, what we're doing is we're building our legacy. We're leaving behind something for our children's children.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And what, I mean, you know, that's what I think.
You know, that's interesting. You know, even in this book, I dedicated this to my daughter because, I talked to her about legacy. You will pass on this thing that is in our family. You're going to pass it on to your children and children's children, but not just the family legacy, a heritage, a faith, you know. And a lot of times we don't think about ourselves in terms of how we call the Bible people back in the Bible days. But I like to put myself in the place of, what was it like to be like Abraham? What was it like to be like Moses and receive a charge and to lead a nation of people? And, you know, put myself in the category of the Bible characters that we see. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about the heroes of our faith. But I believe that the Holy Spirit invited us into the family, not only just so that we could be saved from whatever turmoil, but also so that we can be included in the name of the greats and to, like you said, produce things that will leave a legacy for the Lord, so that his name would be a memorial from generation to generation. That's what it's all about.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking, one of my favorite examples is Joshua. in the Bible, and how, you know, the way has been prepared and he's learned the way. So the way has been prepared for us. We're learning the way. Now, what are we going to do with what we've learned? Are we going to, are we waiting and sitting for something to happen saying, I'm waiting on God, when God is saying, I already told you this. I already taught you this. You already have the skill sets. You already have the gifts. You already have the talents. Why aren't you going forward? Why aren't you making your way successful? Why are you sitting there talking about I'm waiting on God?
Mm-hmm. He's waiting on you. Move out there.
Waiting on us to move.
That's it.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you now about, you had a book before that I saw, which was called The Governmental Sound.
The Governmental Sound, yes.
Governmental Sound. Very powerful. And you talked about the underscoring the voices in that book. Talk a little bit about that book. And how does your new book, Deep Flow, is it connected to it? Is it an extension of it? Or is it, I'm sure it's a standalone, but is it still an extension of? Because even a standalone can be an extension of something.
That's right. So, that is a great question, because I was thinking about this. If someone follows me in my writing, my ministry, they would definitely see it as an extension. It wasn't written referencing what was in The Governmental Sound. It was written to speak to some other issues, but it's definitely connected. I believe that for the rest of my life, the rest of the works that I do, I'm going to intentionally connect them so that I can reference what I've already done to that. And so I can just build that community and conversation. But Governmental Sound, just for the people who don't know, it was a write-up of the book that I previously wrote called Kingdom Music. But the Lord was telling me that I need to go beyond just talking about music, because it's not just about music. That sound can come from oracles, people who speak the word, those who preach and teach, or those who share in other ways. So it wasn't limited to music. So I changed it to The Governmental Sound. But really, it's really talking about the sound that comes from heaven, or the sound that comes from the government of God. When God begins to move upon someone, what kind of sound does it make, and how does it impact society? And so Deep Flow is connected to that. If you've read The Governmental Sound and you read Deep Flow, you'll definitely see the connections, but it wasn't intentionally written that way.
So when you start talking about the Deep Flow, and I, listen, you all, the book will become, when will the book be available?
The paperback will be available November 1st, 2023. You can already pre-order if you're going to do the, not the audio. Someone was asking me about doing audio. I said, that's a whole nother project. I'll get to that later. But the ebook is available now for pre-order.
Okay. So you can do pre-order. And, you know, you kind of help the momentum of the book to work in the system. So if you're interested in this, grab that ebook. But also, in respect to this book, it talks about communication. Tell us a little bit about that, about the flow of this book.
Yeah.
Without giving us the meat.
Okay. So the flow of the book, I'm addressing some different categories of things. First, I want to say that what inspired the book is I went through some personal upheaval in my life and had to go through all kinds of changes, which caused me to reevaluate how I was communicating, how I looked at communication and just relationships altogether. But that was just the launching pad for him to just download all kind of things that wasn't just dealing with relationships, but dealing with communication in business, communication in culture, and also divine communications, how we communicate with God, and even intrapersonal communication, how we communicate with ourselves. So he just immersed me into the history, the etymology of communication, and then connecting that to a lot of different facets. So for example, one of the things in one of the chapters, we do a survey of 20 forms of communication based on the Word of God, how the Word speaks about it. And we just do commentary on it and just talk about its applications, but then we relate that to so many different things. So it's a dense book. It's very, there's some light parts, but my writing style, I don't do a lot of storytelling. As I know a lot of people who read books love storytelling. Me, when I read books, I look for the bullet points. What are the assertions, or what are the bullet statements? What are the edicts or stratagems, so to speak? So this book really, it has a few stories, but most of it is just really talking about strategies and tactics for communication. And it addresses diplomacy, how we interact in community and all kinds of different things. So if you lean more towards the psychological parts, philosophical parts, there's some things in there. If you're a Bible nerd like me, you go and look for the theology, or even if you are into more relational, practical things, you'll find some things there, or maybe some of the deeper stuff that's dealing with the supernatural, the spiritual realm. We have a little bit for everybody.
Yeah, I think when I was reading some of your content, you mentioned, you know, your aim for your book was to help us not to just speak, but to be able to connect. Your word was on a profound level with others in their personal and professional lives. So I'm assuming you're saying sometimes we think we are saying something, but now when we look back, we really didn't say what we thought we were saying.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. And it first starts with how we see ourselves and how we see other people in light of the fact that we're all created in the image and likeness of God. That affects how we interact with people in the workplace. It affects how we deal with people that we just walk up to. There are certain people who feel entitled and privileged, and they speak to people from that place. But this book is really talking about how to flow from a regal place, a place of royalty, and recognizing I'm royalty, but you are as well. So how do we interact with each other to get the best out of our communication? So one of the things with Deep Flow, I can tell you this is free, but the acronym for Deep is deliberate. And then the second one is edifying. And the third one is encouraging, and then the P is for prophetic. So we're getting deep, and we break down what all that is. We break down what flow is on a surface level, and then on a deeper level. So the book addresses things surface and then goes deep and goes back and forth with that, so that if you need to come up from the depths and just get to a place of shallow waters, just so you can get your footing and your ground, you can do that and then go back deep again. But I try to mix it up so it can be a little bit for everybody in there.
Yeah, that's rich. When I think about what I've seen you do through the years, or know that you have done, we worked together on a really nice collaboration at one point. Yes. Before we left the area. So why don't you tell everybody about that collaboration? Because you never know. Just because I said before in my prior podcast, just because you step back doesn't mean that's the end of it. It could be that it's time to step forward in a new season. So tell everybody about that.
Yes. Yeah, so back then we were just getting started in digging into the scribal ministry, what that means, and getting language and input concerning that, really things confirming what was already in our hearts. And so we got together and began to start educating aspiring writers, creatives, artists, or people who had different creative abilities and desires and dreams, and just give them some structure, give them some information, teach them things like what you're doing on a broader level now for sure, but how to publish your book, how to go through editing, how to go from ground zero. I have an idea. This is something I want to do. Now, how do I get it out? And so we walk people through that. We would go into the libraries at times and just talk them through it. You can speak on a little bit more too, because I know we did a lot in that small period of time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, because that was like in 2016 to about 2018, I think, something like that. Right. We were working on it. And just sometimes I think about the varied people that came to be a part of our conversations. And it seems like we ended it just as it was starting to take off.
That's right.
But that's okay. but that's okay. But, you know, like you said, we had a heart in that season to really want to come together, partner with our gifts and talents, and let people know at no charge, we're willing to share with you what the Lord has given to us, if it's going to help you to develop and to grow. If you understand the fivefold ministry in the Bible and the flowing of that, you will understand when people are multifaceted and are able to do multiple things. You'll know if you've understood and studied the gifts in the Bible. You will understand that. So oftentimes you have that person, like Apostle said, you know, when he started, he was an evangelist. And I still call, even though I flow in other gifts, I still call myself an evangelist, y'all. And I call myself, he calls himself chief servant. I call myself servant leader, okay?
Same thing.
But we know the flow of our gifts, and people that we engage with are able to see the flow of our gift. And it's, we never wanted our gifts to be bigger than us. We never wanted people to think that because we had these gifts, that we were better than anybody else. And so just coming together, working together to partnering to engage people and have conversations. As he's talking about with his book, Deep Flow, you got to have conversations with people. You have to sit down and open up, and you got to listen, got to be quiet and listen some. Now, I'm a talker, y'all, but I got to make myself, you know, I'm not that girl in the back like he is, like that brother is. That's not me. Now, I can sit in the back. But I can't never sit in the back because I always get pushed to the front. No matter how much I try to go to the back, the Lord keep pushing me to the front. Why? Because he said, your gifts are going to make room for you.
That's it. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because one of the things I wanted to say about that time that we shared building, I believe that time also helped develop and clarify for us what our vision was. And a lot of the things we began to do after that was as a result of us really clarifying what it is we wanted to do. So, and I believe that leaders, it's important for us to have resources and periods of time where we clarify what it is we're supposed to be doing, even if we've been doing it for a while. And that's another reason for this book. It's to be an educational aid for teachers, for leaders, for people who are already doing the work, to say, I need some more resources to give my people and to teach my people and to show them some other strategies that they can do so they can go to the next level in it. And I believe that that's very important for us as leaders to not stop anywhere. We can't stop. As creative as you are, as gifted as you are, there's always more. And like you said, interacting with people, meeting people, a lot of times that brings out things that were there, but it took that person for you to meet that person to bring it out. It's imperative. It's critical. Even if you're like she said, I'm laid back. Usually I will try to sit in the back too. But there's a flow for everybody. And that's another thing what we talk about in Deep Flow. And that is that if you're outspoken, God has a plan for you. If you're laid back, there's a flow with that where you still find yourself in the right conversations, making the right moves, being strategic, and being exactly where he wants you to be. You just have to be true to who you are, but we still have to put our hands to the plow. We have to get to work. We can't just expect God to do it without us putting our work into it. So that's a big part of it.
Yes. So y'all listen, this is good. We have a few more minutes left. I know that some of the work you do is also humanitarian effort. I wanted you to share to us some of the things that you're doing as you are going forward in the kingdom.
Yes. So I'm part of a board called Seed in the Ground, and it's led by April and Anthony Ghostin down in Hilton Head area, Bluffton area. And it's like a mobile food pantry where we are making sure that we meet the needs of those who are hungry, who need clothes, who don't have access to the store just because of distance, and there are efforts made by corporate people to move people out of their houses and move people away from where they could make money. And so we just try to stand in the gap and meet some immediate needs and also minister to their soul and their spirit so that they can just get out of that situation. I will say this, most of those humanitarian efforts, I want to be a support, and I'm not the main person in that. I just want to support the people who have a passion for it. There's another group, it's called Dream Big Ministries, and I just got invited to be on a part of that board as well. And that one is focusing in the Greenville area of dealing with children, disenfranchised children who don't have food as well, but also don't have an understanding of their identity, who they are in Christ, their potential. So we're teaching them basic skills, learning skills, things that are going to set them up for success in learning institutions, but also we're trying to just deal with spirit, soul, and body. So I'm a part of those. The people who I interact with, once we get together and we are like-minded, they say, we want you, even if you're not up front, we want you to be involved in some kind of way. So I try to add value, strategic analysis of what's going on. But the people who really have a passion and heart for that, that's what they do. Usually my passion and heart is really in developing content, getting in the face of God and seeing, God, what do you have to say to the people? And then I'll just support what other people are doing.
So you do a lot of leadership training, maybe?
Leadership training. And leadership training, not in the sense how a lot of people think about going to this leadership conference. Now, my training is more so, let me come alongside you in small settings. And really, it could be a big setting, but really more so, I want to deal with leaders. And a lot of times you can't deal with leaders in a big setting because the egos, they can't really be vulnerable and say, hey, this is what's really going on. I really don't know what to do. So a lot of it is dealing with mentoring, one-on-one, aspiring preachers, leaders. Most of my work is usually not public events, though I'm open for public events. Yeah, you call me up and we can build, we can do something. But in reality, most of my work is counseling, consultation type stuff, small groups or just one-on-one with leaders.
All right. So y'all heard good stuff this evening. I'm telling y'all, good stuff. I want you to, as we get ready to close, I really want you to share an empowerment with everyone before you leave, an empowering thought, leave them with it. And also let everybody know how they can reach out to you, how they can get this book from you, where your ebook is located, how they can get it, and where your other resources are as well.
Okay, so my website is going through a revamp. So you can look at other things through terrencefrederick.com. But the new and latest books and products I have, you can just go to Amazon. Just put me in Amazon, Terrence Frederick, and you'll see all the products that I put out. And also, you can just reach out to me on Facebook, I believe, what's my latest handle. And Instagram, you can find me on Urban Theist 7.
Urban Theist.
Urban Theist 7, you can find me there. I'm on TikTok, you can find Chief Servant. So if you look up Urban Theist, Chief Servant, or Terrence Frederick, you're bound to find me somewhere. And you can shoot me a DM, or I have a Terrence Frederick Ministry page on Facebook. So that's where you can find me, and I'll continually be more active, and I'll definitely respond to anyone who's interested in any aspect of what we talked about, whether it's the products and books that I've written, or if it's consultation, desire for mentorship, even fellowship. I want to fellowship with the saints a lot more. And also, if you have something that you have going on that you just need to help pushing it out, I'm available to help you with that. I take joy in being able to say that I get some crown somewhere in heaven because I help somebody produce something that God called them to do. So that's important. So you asked for an empowering statement. something that I can leave the people with. I want to say something that's, it may sound cliche, but it's very deep. And that is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's so much greatness in you. And though people have said that all the time, you can read all the motivational books or whatever, a lot of times we still have trouble believing it sometimes, that there's greatness in us. But it's not us, but it's the greatness of God in us, and that he has made you a steward of the gifts, talents, abilities, visions, and dreams. Just keep in mind that those things are not yours. You can borrow them. You can claim them as yours because you are a co-laborer, partaker. But those dreams come from eternity. They come from heaven. And God placed those things in you because he wants something to manifest it in the earth. He's spirit, but he has given ideas, and he's given ministry, and he's given work to believers, to bodies. We actually have bodies so that we can push out what it is God called us to do. So that's what I want to leave you with, to not despise small beginnings and not overlook the small things that God deposited in you, because what he wants you to do is cultivate it and make it big. Make it big. It's up to you to make it big. He gave you the work, but it's up to you to make it all of what he wants it to be. That's where we co-labor with him. And that's what I have for you. I love the people of God. I love the people, the creative community. And it's good just to be an opportunity, have an opportunity to speak with my lovely sister. I love so much, Dr. Annette. It's good to be here.
Yes, brother. Well, let me tell you all, thank you so much, Chief Servant Terrence Frederick, for being on Dr. Annette Publishing Pusher podcast. It's been a great evening together, and I look forward to connecting with you again. Some great work is on the horizon. And listen, everybody, if you happen to be a book author and you have heard the flow tonight, it's all about books, but it's all about the kingdom in respect to these books and what we are doing, being creative. So if you believe you have a book that fits in this pocket, reach out to me at jetnaypublishing.org, and we will see if we can get you on the podcast. Thank you again, Chief Servant Terrence Frederick. Bye-bye, everyone.
Blessings.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Vanessa Chad Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, jotnatepublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.